From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, commentary, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz.
Here is the news for the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms global commitment at the Indonesia-Africa Forum. Indonesian and African parliaments agreed to fight mpox outbreak. Foreign passengers at Soekarno-Hatta Airport must fill data in Satu Sehat application, says authorities. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo officially opened the joint leader session of the High-Level Forum on Multi-Stakeholder Partnerships, or HLPMSP, and the second Indonesia-Africa Forum IAF in Bali on Monday. As quoted from the Indonesian Presidential Secretariat press statement, President Joko Widodo emphasized Indonesia's commitment to being part of the global solution. He also highlighted the declining spirit of multilateralism and the widening fragmentation globally.
Oleh sebab itu, kita memerlukan arah dan visi baru.
Therefore, we need a new direction and vision, we need a new strategy, we need new tactical steps to realize a more equitable and inclusive development for developing countries.
Yang lebih adil dan inklusif bagi negara-negara berkembang.
President Joko Widodo also said that Indonesia is ready to partner with African countries as part of the global development agenda. The Indonesia and Africa partnership has recorded great success, says the Indonesian Presidential Secretariat. Its business deals are worth $3.5 billion, almost six times the achievement of the first forum in 2018. At the end of his speech, Joko Widodo announced that Indonesia will host the Platinum Jubilee of the ASEAN-African Conference next year, commemorating the 70th anniversary of the ASEAN-African Conference as an expression of Indonesia's commitment to strengthening international cooperation. Chairperson of the Indonesian House of Representatives DPR, Puan Maharani, said, the Indonesian and African parliaments have agreed to combat the monkeypox mpox outbreak in Africa, Indonesia, and the world. As Puan said in a press conference after closing the 2024 Indonesia-Africa Parliamentary Forum in Nusa Dua, Badung, Regency, Bali on Sunday, she said that mpox is no longer a new thing, so the government must take concrete steps.
Jadi kami meminta tindak lanjut secara konkret dari pemerintah untuk mengantisipasi dan
mitigasi. So we asked for concrete follow-up from the government to anticipate and mitigate. Earlier, African countries also agreed to this, and we also asked the government to immediately cooperate with other countries, not only Africa and Indonesia.
Negara-negara lain, bukan cuma Afrika dan Indonesia, tapi negara-negara lain yang bisa menjaga
but other countries that can protect the existing crossing, which are considered to be able to spread the virus. Those are things that we will do together. Puan Maharani further stated that the steps of the Indonesian African Parliament against mpox epitomize the spirit of the 1955 ASEAN-African Conference held in the Indonesian city of Bandung. However, in the current context, Parliament also plays a role in various global and regional issues, including the mpox spread. Senior Manager of Branch Communication and Legal at Jakarta Soekarno-Hatta Airport, Holik Muardi, said the airport's operator Angkasa Pura II requires foreign travelers to fill out personal data and download the Satu Sehat application to detect the mpox virus. In his statement on Monday, Holik explained that the measures is an effort to strengthen health supervision. He said the rules for filling out this health form have been enforced since Thursday for all countries without exception. According to him, the form must be filled in an at-departure airport and verified by health officials at the arrival airport. He also said that to facilitate the Satu Sehat application for international passengers, the airport is working with the local health quarantine center. The head of the Jakarta Provincial's Office of Transportation, Syafrin Liputo, will enforce traffic management in the city during Pope Francis' visit to Indonesia from Tuesday to Friday. As reported by Antara News Agency, Syafrin on Sunday said the management would be done in the areas he will visit, such as the Jakarta Cathedral Church and Istiqlal Mosque nearby, and for the Mass at Gelora Bung Karno Stadium. All places are located in the administrative city of Central Jakarta, where government offices and businesses district are situated. The Pope is scheduled to arrive in Jakarta on Tuesday afternoon and meet Indonesian President Joko Widodo at the Merdeka Palace the following day. On Thursday, Pope Francis is expected to attend an interfaith meeting at Istiqlal Mosque before leading a Grand Mass at the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium, where around 80,000 Catholics are anticipated to attend. Acting Governor of Jakarta Heru Budi Hartono earlier this week urged Jakarta's residents to pay attention to traffic conditions and consider working from home on Thursday. Let's move on to the international news, where one woman has died, schools have been shuttered, and tens of thousands of people were without power on Monday as wild storms lashed Australia. As reported by AFP, Australian police said a 63-year-old woman died after a tree fell on a cabin in the country's southeast. Destructive winds of more than 110 kilometers per hour lashed the region, leaving about 150,000 people without power. Meanwhile, coastal areas have been hit by high tides, in some cases slowing up sand dunes. People have been warned to avoid unnecessary travel, while some schools have closed. Authorities in New South Wales were concerned the damaging winds would increase fire danger on Monday, with many areas on high alert. Parts of Tasmania have been inundated by flooding and destructive winds, with gusts peaking at 150 kilometers per hour over the weekend. Australian Bureau of Meteorology senior forecaster Christy Johnson said a series of cold fronts in Australia's southeast had caused damaging to destructive winds, but conditions were set to ease on Tuesday. Israel's main union on Sunday ordered a nationwide general strike after soldiers recovered the bodies of six killed hostages from Palestine's Gaza Strip. As reported by AFP, tens of thousands of Israelis gathered in the streets of Tel Aviv and other cities on Sunday evening to protest the government and call for a hostage release deal. The hostages' families previously called for a nationwide general strike to force the government to reach a deal. Shortly afterward, the head of Israel's powerful Histadrut trade union ordered a complete strike on Monday in support of the hostages. During protests in Tel Aviv, police said demonstrators blocked a highway and confronted authorities, forcing them to declare the protests illegal and disperse the crowd. The Israeli military claimed the bodies of the six hostages were recovered on Saturday from an underground tunnel in Rafah, southern Gaza. They were among 251 hostages seized during the October 2023 operation on Israel by the Palestinian organization Hamas, 97 of whom remain captive in Gaza. Russia on Sunday marked the 20th anniversary of the Beslan school massacre in the Caucasus region of North Ossetia, when 334 people died in hostage siege in the country's deadliest attack in modern history, more than half of them children. As reported by AFP, during commemoration, former students who survived the massacre process through the Beslan School No. 1 playground, carrying portraits of the victims and white roses. Relatives, survivors and officials, including Regional Governor Sergei Menyailo, laid flowers and kneeled at a cross in the school's chaired former gymnasium, which has become a memorial. Mothers of Beslan, a group of parents whose children were killed, then held a press conference. Last month, Russian President Vladimir Putin, who was already in power at the time of the attack, visited the school for the first time since the massacre. Besides visiting the school, Putin also went to the cemetery where most of the victims were buried. On September 1, 2004, militants, including Chechen, a separatist, stormed the school and held them in a siege that lasted for some 50 hours. Listener, let's move on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on Indonesia-Africa Forum in Bali to strengthen relations between Indonesia and Africa. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesia is hosting the second Indonesia-Africa Forum, IAF, in Bali on September the 1st to the 3rd. The forum is held in conjunction with the 2024 High-Level Forum Multi-Stakeholder Partnership. This forum is focused on strengthening Indonesia's relations with African countries in several priority issues, namely cooperation in the sectors of food security, energy, minerals, and health. The relationship between Indonesia and African countries is actually not a newly pioneered relationship, because it has been created long since the Asian African Conference was held in Bandung, Indonesia in 1955. That is also one of the reasons for choosing the theme of the meeting forum in Bali this time, namely the Spirit of Bandung for Africa's 2063 Agenda, as well as being intended to celebrate the 70th anniversary of the Asia-African Conference. Since the holding of the Asian-African Conference in 1955, African countries have shared Indonesia's desire to fight imperialism and colonialism. This common view has become the underlying force for the friendship and cooperation between Indonesia and Africa to continue to grow until today. Both parties see the potential of each that can be utilized for mutual progress. Indonesia sees Africa as a region that has the potential for abundant natural resources, while Africa sees Indonesia as a country that can help countries on the continent. This is the premise to improve relations in a higher direction, namely through the Indonesia-Africa Forum. In addition, the African Development Agenda 2063 is considered in line with the Indonesian Golden Vision 2045. The African Development Agenda 2063 is directed at transforming into an independent, sovereign, and competitive region at the global level. While Indonesian Golden Vision 2045 is a long-term plan to make Indonesia a developed and prosperous country on the 100th anniversary of independence. The two visions have in common that focus efforts on human resources development through a number of facets, including education, health, and youth empowerment. Through this synergy, Indonesia and Africa can strengthen each other and have a positive impact on the world, especially in the midst of current geopolitical, economic, and climate change challenges. The second Indonesia-African Forum and High-Level Forum Multi-Stakeholder Partnership are expected not only to be an ordinary meeting agenda, but can actually produce real changes in the context of cooperation between Indonesia and Africa. This momentum must also be able to prove to the world that Indonesia and Africa have an important role in global development and overcome global challenges. That's commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hey! samudra terbentang khatulistiwa. Di situ ku ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta. Karena kita Indonesia, jangan pernah terpecah belah. Walau kita berbeda, walau kita tak sama, tetaplah satu kita, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
We begin today in history on September 2, 1945, when Vietnam became independent from France. On September 2, 1945, President Ho Chi Minh officially proclaimed Vietnam's independence from French colonialism while giving birth to the Democratic Republic of Vietnam. This declaration not only ended colonial rule and feudal regime, but also marked the beginning of the formation of an independent, sovereign, and people-led Vietnamese state. The Declaration of Independence also opened a new era for Vietnam as a country in Southeast Asia to be free from colonialism. This event inspired many other countries that were struggling against colonialism. Over the next 79 years, Vietnam continued to develop into a symbol of social stability and a spirit of resistance to poverty. Let's move on to the next event in 1985 when Riau upheld democracy. On September 2, 1985, Riau recorded an important history with an event known as the Dai Riau Uphold Democracy. Amidst the dominance of the new order, which tended to determine regional heads from the central government, a political movement emerged in Riau to counter this prohibition. This movement was spearheaded by support for Ismail Lusuko, a native son of Riau, who challenged incumbent governor Imam Munandar. In the gubernatorial elections held by the Riau Regional House of Representatives, Ismail Lusuko managed to obtain 17 votes, defeating two other candidates, and was elected governor of Riau for the period of 1985-1990. Although Ismail Lusuko won the election, the process did not go smoothly. There was pressures and insistence that made the political situation at that time very tense. However, this event symbolized the courage of the Riau people in fighting for their rights to determine their own leaders resisting central power, and upholding democracy in the region. We entered in history in 2009 about the establishment of World Coconut Day. The September 2nd is celebrated as the World Coconut Day, a global celebration first initiated by the Asia-Pacific Coconut Community APCC in 2009. The purpose of this commemoration is to promote the activities of coconut farmers while raising awareness of the extraordinary benefits of the coconut fruit. For more than 2,000 years, coconut has been an essential part of human life. The fruit was first recognized in Europe in the 16th century, but had spread throughout the Indian subcontinent and even Africa long before that time. Some experts believe it was introduced to Europe via the maritime Silk Road that linked the East and the West.
Sekian lamanya kita tak berjumpa, namun tak sengaja berpapasan ku denganmu. Tatapan yang sama, rasanya yang lama, namun ku kecewa kau tak peka. Oh, telah lama ku menunggu dirimu, tak coba hubungiku, salah hatiku. Berharap padamu mencari yang tak pasti, wahai kau bunga hatiku menanti dirimu. Sekian lamanya kita tak berjumpa, namun tak sengaja
listeners. Next, we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia proposes blue economy concept at Multi-Stakeholder Partnerships Forum. Indonesia proposed the concept of blue economy to be a solution to the problem of public welfare at the high-level forum on Multi-Stakeholder Partnership 2024 held in Bali from September the 1st until 3rd. Deputy for Political, Legal and Security Affairs of the Indonesian Ministry of National Development Planning, Bogat Widiatmoko, pointed it out in Bali on Sunday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, after a press conference in Badung, Bali on Sunday, Bogat Widiatmoko conveyed that Indonesia as a maritime country rich in maritime resources considers the importance of utilizing these resources to improve the welfare of the community. The concept of blue economy has been developed by the ministry through the Indonesia Blue Economy Roadmap 2023-2045. According to him, Indonesia's blue economy concept has become a reference for the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN countries, and has received the attention of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Meanwhile, countries in the world are dealing with welfare and sustainability issues that should be the spirit of international development. Bogat Widiatmoko further explained the unmeasured use of economic resources has triggered crisis. In that context, Indonesia proposes a blue economy as an answer to improve sustainable welfare. Previously, Minister of National Development Planning, head of the National Development Planning Agency, Suharto Monoarfa, stated that the blue economy could become a new engine of Indonesia's economic growth. The implementation of the blue economy is said to be able to help drive various industries, especially in the marine sector. With the blue economy roadmap, Indonesia is committed to increasing the contribution of the maritime economy to Indonesia's gross domestic product from 7.6% to 15% by 2045. Moreover, the 2024 High-Level Forum on Multi-Stakeholder Partnership is targeted to provide solutions to three world problems, namely cooperation between countries, welfare and sustainability, and financial architecture. The forum carries the theme Strengthening Multi-Stakeholder Partnerships Towards a Transformative Change. That was my Indonesia Today.
Lihatmu kuat setengah.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Jambi has a very beautiful natural tourism potential, both nature and culture. Many tourist destinations in Jambi can be explored, ranging from mountains, lakes, waterfalls, hot springs, caves, geopark, or various modern tours that are now being developed. One of them is Lake Biru Jangkat in Tanjung Alam Village, Jangkat District, Merangin Regency, Jambi. This lake is located at an altitude of 2,033 meters above sea level. Still included in the other production source area, which is directly adjacent to the Kerinci Seblat National Park. Tourists who come here will be treated to a unique natural beauty. The water is blue and clear. You can see down the bottom of the lake. The air is also cool, because this lake is hidden among the lush trees around it. There is also a fallen tree that stretches between Lake Biru Jangkat. The tree is used as a bridge to the cottage that has been built by local residents to rest. The existence of the fallen tree is actually an interesting spot to take an Instagrammable photo. According to local residents, this lake was discovered accidentally by residents of Tanjung Alam Village who were hunting birds around the customary forest. Previously, local residents called it Green Lake, but Merangin region Al Haris changed it to Lake Biru when he visited the location in 2016. If you want to go to Lake Biru from the city of Jambi, you can use two-wheeled or four-wheeled vehicle to the Merangin Regency. From the city center of Merangin Regency, Bangko, you have to travel to Tanjung Alam Village, Sungai Tenang District. The location of the lake is in the vicinity of Mount Masurai, so you will have to travel again on foot for approximately 1 to 2 hours. In addition to preparing a healthy physique, you are also advised to bring enough supplies. It's more fun to visit this lake with friends, so the trip will be more enjoyable. From Tanjung Alam Village, the journey to Telaga Biru can be reached on foot for approximately 7 hours and 3 hours by motorized vehicle.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kita bikin romantis. sambil merayu, lupakan ada waktu. Oh, angin berbunyi nada seperti lagu cintaku, tulis tentangmu. Kita bikin romantis, bikin paling romantis. Kita bikin romantis, yang paling romantis.
Sambil gandengan tangan, hati pelukan di angan syahdu.
Lihat ke langit bintangnya berkedip-kedip, semua merasa sepenuh hati. Kita bikin romantis, bikin paling romantis. Bergandeng tangan, bermain angan yang syahdu. Kita bikin romantis, yang paling romantis.
Sambil gandeng tangan, hati pelukan.
Kita bikin romantis,
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and got you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Di Samarinda. Di Samarinda, which means in Samarinda. You will listen to a monologue about akan menepi, which means will pull over. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, along with a tourism boat guide of Mahakam River, Samarinda. The tourism boat guide said they will pull over at a dock near to the Baitul Mutakin Mosque. Let's listen to the conversation.
Sebentar lagi kita akan sampai di Masjid Baitul Mutakin, salah satu ikon kota Samarinda. Masjid itu terletak di tepian Sungai Mahakam ini.
Apakah kita akan mampir ke masjid itu?
Ya, nanti kita akan menepi di dermaga di dekat masjid.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic. Akan menepi, which means will pull over. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. nanti, which means later. Kita, which means we. Akan menepi, which means will pull over. Dermaga, which means dock. Di dekat, which means near to. Masjid, which means mosque. Nanti kita akan menepi di dermaga di dekat masjid. Nanti kita akan menepi di dermaga di dekat masjid. Which means later we will pull over at a dock near to the mosque. Sebentar lagi, which means in a moment. Masjid Baitul Mutakin, which means Baitul Mutakin Mosque. Icon, which means icon. Kota Samarinda, which means Samarinda City. Terletak, which means is located. Di tepian, which means in the bank. Sungai Mahakam, which means Mahakam River. Akan mampir, which means will visit. In the conversation, you will hear the expression, nanti kita akan menepi di dermaga di dekat masjid. Nanti kita akan menepi di dermaga di dekat masjid. Which means, later we will pull over at a dock near the mosque. In the expression, there's the word menepi, which means pull over. The word menepi, which means pull over in the context, means the boat is going to the bank of Mahakam River. Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other examples of describing destinations. Mendarat, menuju ke darat. Mendarat, menuju ke darat. Means land, going to land. Pesawat akan mendarat pukul 12 siang. Pesawat akan mendarat pukul 12 siang. Which means the plane will land on 12 p.m. Melaut, menuju ke laut. Melaut, menuju ke laut. Which means seaward, going to the sea. Nelayan melaut untuk mencari ikan. Which means fisherman go seaward to fish. For your information, Mahakam River is the biggest river in East Kalimantan. Mahakam River is also a main river in Kalimantan, which is known as the island with thousands of rivers. Besides Mahakam River, there are also other main rivers in Kalimantan, namely Barito River, Martapura River, Kapuas River, and Kahayan River. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the dialogue.
Sebentar lagi kita akan sampai di Masjid Baitul Mutakin, salah satu ikon kota Samarinda. Masjid itu terletak di tepian Sungai Mahakam ini.
Apakah kita akan mampir ke masjid itu?
Ya, nanti kita akan menepi di dermaga di dekat masjid.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about akan menepi, which means will pull over. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve, sampai jumpa.
mengingatkanku padamu. Indah terang seperti matamu yang selalu ku pandang. Lembut tutur katamu, merdu tawamu, parasmu yang
still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Rindu Malam or Longing for a Night by Tania Dewi, accompanied by Orkes Keroncong Side of X. The song created by Sukamto was one song by singers Mus Mulyadi, Tuti Mariyati, and Rama Aib Hama. The song describes the deep longing that a person experiences at night when asleep. The longed-for figure is present in the dream, whispering sweet words that make the heart flutter and wake up from a deep sleep. Well, listener, here is Tania Dewi featuring Orkes Keroncong Side of X with Rindu Malam. Enjoy!
Thank you.
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz, voinews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our social media accounts, Facebook fanpage, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at VOI_official. Or send email to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.